In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies. It is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
You can become an official Patreon supporter of my work here at Strange Planet Productions by donating a monthly amount through patreon.com/strangeplanet. patreon.com/strangeplanet. There are several tiers to choose from. Pick which one is right for you, but any monthly amount is greatly appreciated. As a sign of my appreciation, you can have your name mentioned on air during my weekly radio show, or you could have your name included in a crawl on my YouTube channel live stream. You could also receive episodes of my old podcast, The Rock and Roll Twilight Zone. This critically acclaimed podcast, produced in partnership with Chris Jericho, is not currently available anywhere else. If you enjoy this podcast or my weekly radio program, The Conspiracy Show, you can really get behind me and my work by donating once a month at patreon.com/strangeplanet. patreon.com/strangeplanet. Crop Circle filmmaker Patty Greer is here, and she brought loads of fantastic pictures of crop circles and photos of her behind the scenes working on one of her crop circle films in England. And those photos will pop up during the live stream. And if you're listening on the radio the old-fashioned way, or streaming audio in some other fashion, we'll do our best to paint mental pictures with our words. Patty Greer is here for the full 2 hours. And Patty is here to decode crop circles and reveal the hidden information contained in these amazing geometric designs. They're not all geometric. Many of them are. They're found in farmers' fields all over the world, but predominantly in England and France and a few here in Canada. These agriglyphs, as they're also known, appear to be formed almost instantaneously by intelligent balls of light. Patty's caught that on camera. And we'll play a video clip from one of her films on the live stream. Again, we'll do our best to describe it for those of you listening on the radio or streaming the audio. Patty Greer is a prominent crop circle filmmaker who has produced 8 full-length crop circle films in 10 years. Her movies have received 8 prestigious awards, including 5 EBEs at the International UFO Congress. Her films show footage of crop circles being produced by spinning plasma fields that appear to humans as balls of light. Patty's conclusion after visiting the lab of scientist William Levengood is that crop circles are produced by counter-rotating spinning plasma vortices coming out of the earth. In her films, she also explains how seeds from crop circle formations are growing 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per plant, with up to 75% more nutrition per seed. Her film Crop Circle Diaries received 2 EBE awards at the 2017 International UFO Congress for Best UFO Feature Film and People's Choice Award, and her website is cropcirclefilms.com. Patty Greer, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. You hit all the punchlines, which is great because some people might not make it all the way through 2 hours, which is a lot of information. But I think that the punchline of why crop circles are important is that they're growing 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per plant.
Well, that could come in handy as we're facing possible food shortages, not in some distant future, but right now for obvious reasons. Let me ask you, you know, I mentioned the UFO Congress. That's where we first met. I think it was around 2011, I believe, in February 2011, where we first met. And at that point, I still thought erroneously that crop circles and UFOs were sort of, you know, one and the same. They were linked, inextricably linked. And you, of course, over the years have disabused me of that. But when you first went over to England, what did you know about crop circles? Did you also think that they had something to do with UFOs?
I knew nothing. I absolutely knew nothing about crop circles. And I went over because I was desperate to heal from mercury poisoning from a bad dentist. And I was looking for a cure and gave up on humans and tried, you know, what was supposedly some miracle was to go and be in a crop circle. So in 2006, I went over there really knowing nothing other than help. I need to heal, you know, and I give up on medical humans. And it didn't heal my hands in the long run, but it certainly did distract me from the reality that I thought was my life.
So you went over to England for the specific purpose of finding a crop circle, laying down in the middle of it and hoping, you know, for some miraculous healing.
Yeah. That was my intent. And, you know, it was a dream. But again, I didn't research. I didn't watch documentaries. I didn't really do much of anything other than start to make plans, reservations, and found somebody in the family that would go with me. So it was a virgin tour. And the very first crop circle we went in was so alarming that you could actually feel it. And all we knew was go in the 5th tractor line to the left of when you climb over the fence there in a broken tree limb. I mean, very earth directions to get into a crop circle, you know, basic. And just keep walking is what we were told. And that first crop circle, I mean, I could feel it 10 feet before we got there, just took our breath away.
What'd
and
you
then
feel?
It was like all the hairs went up on my body, and I'm a girl, so little teeny hairs, but I could feel every goosebump. I mean, head to toe, it was like the frequency all around me had shifted, and literally, most likely, it's the electromagnetic field. But I'm not going to pretend to be a physicist or a biologist or anything. I'm not. And there's also a difference between experiencer and researcher. I was an experiencer, and I've been in more than 100 crop circles. I would still say I'm an experiencer, not a researcher.
All right. How soon after you stepped foot in that first crop circle did you pick up a camera and decide to start making films?
I came back the next year by myself, literally just to be in the crop circles. I had no idea I was going to make movies. And by the end of summer, I went to the seminar where all the great speakers were in a lineup for a couple days in a row. And I realized I knew all of them because I'd been in the formations with them all summer long. And so I hired the crew that was filming the event to film me and all those people that I chose. A couple days later, and next thing I knew, I made my first film, which was The Wake-Up Call. Anybody listening? Question mark. And for the people that are on live stream, which I'm being very casual, here is the very first movie, The Wake-Up Call. Anybody listening? And oh my gosh, it was so raw, natural, fresh, like, you know, first time anybody seeing a crop circle or being in it. That's what this movie is about. It was all of us being there in the formations live. It was incredible.
And how soon before you were renting planes and flying over them and hanging out the window with your camera?
As you know, yeah, there was no window. There was a missing door. The very next year, in 2007, I hired a film crew that was there at the event filming. And 2008, I came back with my editor's camera, and he said, "You can do it." And from then on, I was filming all the crop circles in England. And I was there for 9 weeks. Couple summers in a row to really dig in. And I forgot about healing and, you know, doing it for myself, but I was just absolutely in awe of my experiences. And also the magic there in England compared to America. You know, here we're so focused on clean cars and clean homes and fancy clothes. And in England, it was very druid energy, and the homes were, there were spider webs, there were spiders welcomed, there were a lot more open witches, you know, or they called themselves that, but there was a pride with being people that work with the earth, and I think that that's why the earth is so alive there and welcoming the crop circles, is that the people are also of a higher frequency when it comes to honoring the land than we are here in Cement City, America. And you're in Canada, it's pretty cement city compared to the farmlands of England.
Right, right. And when did you start hearing people over in England start talking about how, you know, if you ask them to come, they'll make a crop circle right there in front of you? When did you start hearing about these sorts of reports?
Oh, great question. You know, my first film, I had spent the summer. Let's pull up the first photo because we're like three photos in as we're talking, where we could be looking at some of the pictures that I sent. Do we have Ryan available with the pictures?
Yes, Ryan. Yes. Now, there'll be a delay on the live stream as you and I are talking, but the people watching the live stream will see it, obviously, as soon as it comes up. But I've got the pictures in front of me on my screen as well. So that first picture that comes up, that's you with the camera.
That's just me and the camera in a crop circle. And that was a beautiful day, 2014. I was filming Sasha Stone. And that movie didn't end up being a movie, but it was a great day in a crop circle.
And that camera, did you ever have... Sorry, I just wanted to ask you a quick question about the camera, Patty. We always hear about cameras and sound equipment and everything malfunctioning when you're inside because of all of that, you know, electromagnetic energy. Did you ever have equipment failure?
I was really lucky. I never had equipment problems, no phone problems, no batteries, no cameras. No, I always rolled hum like a singer. It was great. No problem.
All right.
And I think the other thing about the enhanced electromagnetic field is that people are a lot more intuitive and a lot more direct. At least that's what I found when I was playing in the crop circles. So let's go to photo number two, just because the first two are just what it's like being in the crop circles. That one is...
Number two. Yeah, that's you. That's you laying in the crop circle.
Yeah, I was always drawn right to the middle. And even if I went with people, I would say to them in advance, when we enter the formation, I'm going to leave you. And I'll talk to you when we are done and walking out. So I wasn't social. I was serious. I was focused. And that's pretty much the position. I go right to the center, close my eyes.
Would you fall? Did you ever fall asleep inside a crop circle?
Well, 2007, at the very end, when the wheat was brittled, I was in a formation called Sugar Hill, and the farm was called Sugar Hill. But yes, I passed out, and it was at the end of my first real summer of being there for 9 weeks. And I was staying in the epicenter in different B&Bs, and I had a rental car. So for an American, new there to drive on the other side of the road, sitting on the other side of the car, doing roundabouts, it was really an adventure to be an American over there running a camera. I mean, I was just on autopilot and got really lucky. The next photo is what it's like walking through the fields. And I don't know if you know who Janet Osebard is.
Yes, I've had her on. I've had her on a program before. Yes.
Fantastic woman. Fall of the Cabal is one of the many series that she did, but she was like one of my best buddies over there. And she's in the front of the line. I'm in the back of the line. And we were heading into a crop circle at the Avery Stone Circle, Avery Manor. There was this big, beautiful crop circle. And so we filmed an interview there, and that was part of the crew in 2007 when I hired the professional crew to film, and then starting 2008, I ran my own camera.
What's the protocol, Patty, when you're walking through farmers' fields on the way? Do you go up to find the farmer's house first and ask? How does that work?
You know, we never did, but sometimes they would have like a cash box where they would ask you to put in 3 pounds or 5 pounds. As a donation to go onto their land and a donation toward the wheat that gets stepped on or that was laid down by the formation. But what's interesting about crop circles is that the wheat doesn't die. The wheat, the barley, the corn, it actually bends at a 90-degree angle and it keeps growing, which is really phenomenal. It doesn't die. And it becomes super seeds when it seeds out that are growing, like we talked about, 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per plant.
Right. I didn't realize it even once. I didn't realize it was bent at 90 degrees and that it kept growing. And for the uninitiated, I mean, this is not like just haphazardly slapdash trampled down. It's like almost like this integral weave with the stalks. They're interwoven. I mean, you can't do that by strapping boards on your shoes.
Well, BBC and Ancient Aliens would tend to show you those people, and you know that you can go back to sleep now, but no, there's too many real crop circles for them to get away with people not knowing. Let's go to the next slide, if you would, because I really want to get into more of the science. This is the last one where it's just me filming. But what's interesting about this one is it's called Night Watch. And we'd go up on the hillsides at night while we could still see, set up our cameras and our tripods, and we would choose a location that was over a field that usually got hit with crop circles during the summer. And there were two of them mainly, Golden Ball Hill, and We'd set up our cameras at night, and we would just wait and hope that we would be the ones to get pictures of balls of light. And East Field was another one that was really a major one. Let's go to the next image where you can see the balls of light. There's three of them that we filmed one night over East Field. Can you see those? Are you on
yes.
the image there?
Yeah, there's one up in the right-hand corner there's a white one. And then there's a – it looks like an orange one. And then right below that is it looks like kind of a reddish color. They almost look like planets.
Well, amazingly, they would move, change positions. There would be different numbers of them. But I had a couple of different people that I met in the course of the same day tell me that they had the same experience the night before with seeing these orange balls of light over East Field, and the very next day there was a crop circle.
Hmm. Now, the idea of capturing on with your camera a crop circle while it was being formed with these balls of light, to capture the moment the balls of light come over the field and then to see the crop circle just suddenly appear. I mean, I'm guessing that would be the holy grail, right? Had that been before you started making crop circle films, had anyone captured that footage before?
Oh, I didn't film that footage. That was 1996, a guy named William Whaley, or Wavy. They don't know which one, but that was not my footage. And in my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, I show an additional footage of balls of light laying crop circles down in seconds in France. So I didn't film them myself, no. I filmed the balls of light coming over the sky, and I filmed a lot of them in the sky, but I didn't film them making a crop circle. I just featured those footages in my film.
Ah, okay, and so we're talking about the Oliver's Castle crop circle, right? That's
correct.
The one from 96.
Yeah.
Was that the first time anyone had ever captured the balls of light and the crop circle being formed simultaneously?
That I know of, yeah. And that's the one that's most well known. And people have thought about it forever. Let's go to the next image because we're going to see it. I wish I could see the images with you. Is there any way you can shift that over?
Well, you sent the email to me with the pictures. So I'm just looking at those because you've numbered them. But this is the UK ball of light with the open door.
Right. Okay. So that one's really amazing. That one was taken by my friend Monique Kliekenberg from Holland. And I made a film called Orbs and Light Beings. And these people that saw the orange balls of light said that they saw the door open in the orange ball and illumined light beings came out with arms and legs and a head. And these guys were stunned. And I met them the very next day after this experience. And then we got the photo with the open door in the ball of light. It was shocking.
Amazing. That is shocking. Patty, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back. Patty Greer, prominent crop circle filmmaker, cropcirclefilms.com. If you'd like to buy her films, cropcirclefilms.com. And we'll come back on the other side and discuss further and more fantastic photos on the live stream. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. We're now crossing a zone of turbulence. Please return your seats and food trays to their upright position and make sure your carry-on luggage is safely stowed. You're about to leave everything you know behind. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Strange Planet.
I call it the miracle molecule, carbon-60 or C60, for my good friends at C60evo.com. And I take a tablespoon every morning. It delivers more than 172 times the power of vitamin C. C60 is a known antiviral, antioxidant, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. It's a remedy that works. C60 Evo users consistently enjoy better sleep and wake up feeling refreshed. This alone is worth the cost of the bottle. I sleep like a baby. I have no aches or pains. Zero. I'm 58, and I don't have a gray hair on my head. Get your miracle in a bottle, C60, from c60evo.com/Richard-Serrett. c60evo.com/Richard-Serrett. Use the coupon code EVRS at checkout and save an additional 10%. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. If you have a medical concern, please contact your healthcare provider.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
We're back with Patty Greer, Crop Circle filmmaker. And again, the website, cropcirclefilms.com. And if you're not on the live stream, you might want to think about checking that out at the YouTube live stream, Strange Planet, or on Rumble, Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, because Patty has come armed with some fantastic photographs. And the last one we had up on the live stream, this was the kind of a close-up of a ball of light, and the door is open. How many times did you have to zoom in to get that, or is that basically the way it appears through the camera lens?
That one in particular showed up like that. It was just shocking after hearing the story from those guys that literally when I saw them the next day, they fell out of their van, like driver door, passenger door. It was a really interesting experience. And I filmed them for my movie called Orbs and Light Beings. And they were just staring at the ground, very red faces. And the guy goes, they're from Belgium. And the guy named Igor goes, my eyes don't lie. It's just my rational mind that can't find an explanation.
Right. And again, there were entities that came through that open door of that orb. And again, how did people describe it for them? There were a number of them.
They said that they were human-like shaped beings that were just light, all light. Can you imagine? And they were up in the sky. So they saw these orange balls of light appear, disappear, and then appear again. And the door opened and these entities came out. One came out and then the other one came out to join him or it. And then there were two. And only the two guys from Belgium saw the ball of light open and these entities come out. But on the other hand, there were these French people that, of course, I also met who had seen the balls of light over East Field that very same night. And then hours later, the man that I was touring with, we went into this crop circle really far away at called Roundaway on our way to Glastonbury. And the family that we met with two children also had been in that crop circle, and they reported to us that a little girl was 6 years old, and she said, and her mom had to translate, the circle is not done. They're going to make it bigger. And sure enough, that crop circle had two more phases before it was fully delivered, the full message. And it was very impressive that this little girl knew. It's a fascinating movie. I encourage people to watch it. It also cost me my man partner. He just kept watching me be like a magnet to all these people in different parts of England that were in that same crop circle watching the sky that night. It was too weird. It was over the top. The magic that kept happening there, the magnetism of all the right people at the right time. It was really impressive to me, but overwhelming to others. So let's.
I'm sure. Can I just ask you before we go to the next photo, Patty? I want to ask you about that little girl for a second. So it sounds like, what did she receive? Some sort of telepathic information, perhaps, from these light beings that they're coming back over, you know, the next night to finish their agroglyph?
Yes, it was so strange that a child would say that, and she said it on camera in Dutch, and her mom translated into English. And the mom just kept rolling her eyes, you know, like, I can't believe she's saying this.
And have these light beings, while people are, I'm kind of imagining in my mind this community that goes over every summer, and they're staying at different bed and breakfasts, maybe miles away from each other, not talking to each other, and then they'll gather at a location where they believe a crop circle is about to be formed. Did any of them ever talk about while they're at their B&B or someplace seeing one of these light beings, having one of these light beings come to them to communicate with them?
I have not heard that story. And also, that's not exactly how it goes. We do come in from all different countries. We do stay at different B&Bs, but we meet up in the morning at the Silent Circle, or we used to, 2007, 2008, 10, 11, 14, all the years I was there. We had the Silent Circle, and it was this place where we could get coffee and cake. And the pilots would have reported to the owner of the research center where there was new crop circles. And so he'd put a pin on the map, and we'd come in and have coffee together and talk about crop circles we saw yesterday or last week and, you know, whatever was new. And then we'd all go flying out if there was a report of another new crop circle. It was like a treasure hunt. I mean, the years that I was filming, there were like 150 crop circles a year, and documented, and about 75 were in England.
Wow.
So right. It was definitely the epicenter until 2019, which we will get to a little bit later.
Right. Okay, so the next photo, Ryan, if you could, this is number seven, I believe.
Oliver.
And this is Oliver Castle. So describe what we're seeing here.
Well, Oliver's Castle crop circle, it's basic. It's a very simple crop circle, but it is the most talked about crop circle because this is the one where the balls of light were filmed by John
yes.
Wavy. And he brought it into the Barge Inn and handed it over to some people after he shared it with them. And he said, I just filmed this, you know, balls of light creating a crop circle and at Oliver's Castle. And so over the years, this story has been distorted and honored and lied about and then supported and blah, blah, blah. So my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, I had this incredible gift from a Native American that I used to go in crop circles with. His name is Bear Cloud from Sedona, Arizona. And he handed me this footage and he said, yes, you can use it. And he had paid this famous guy, a well-known guy that deciphered footage of UFOs being real or fake. And he deciphered Oliver's Castle for Bear Cloud for $3,000. And he took his time, and then Bear Cloud filmed him saying it's absolutely as real as the Phoenix Lights UFO.
Right.
He said this footage is real of Oliver's Castle, where balls of light are laying down a crop circle in seconds. And so I got permission to use it at the end of my first film and my fourth film, and then very strangely, I had found this little bleep of communication right before the crop circle went down. And I believe that in the very beginning of my whole career, that I proved that footage was real by finding this, what looks like a binary code. It looks kind of like this here on the bottom of the crop circle box, you can see, and that's what the code was. But if you do, we have that video clip that you could
yes, we're gonna play that, but I'm thinking because it's about 2 minutes and we're coming up on a break probably in about a minute and a half, maybe we'll do that first order of business when we come back and play that video clip. And for those of you watching the live stream, you can see it. But there's some dialogue. You'll hear Patty talking about it. And then when there's no talking, you and I can, I guess, kind of describe a little bit. So we just finished with picture seven. That's and then picture eight. Did we have picture eight up there? That's the actual ball of light communication. That's the still photo.
Oh, yeah. Let's pull that up because that's the moment that for some reason I found, and we describe it in the little video clip coming up. But it wasn't that I had studied or that I was being a psychic. It was that I was, for some reason, and when I was editing my films, when I was in the crop circles, it's like you get into this energy field where I don't think I was thinking on my own. I was kind of thinking with the energies that were creating these crop circles, because clearly I was being given a lot of information. And then to find this moment in time where my editor and I thought we had just finally completed the very first movie, Crop Circle Update. No, it's called The Wake Up Call, Anybody Listening? Question mark. My very first film. And we thought it was done. And so we said, okay, great. Let's turn off all the gear and we'll go out on the deck and we'll take a break. And then we'll come in and watch the whole movie and see if it's done.
You had permission to use this famous footage from Oliver's Castle in your documentary. And we see the balls of light. And you think the movie's pretty well, your documentary, you and your editor, you think, well, that's it. We've cut everything together. It's great. Let's go take a quick break out on the patio. And then you came back and something inside you, a little voice said, no, we're not quite done with this movie yet. What happened?
You know what? Let's run the clip because that's what the clip is about.
Okay, hang on. Before we get that, let me just make sure I cue it up on my phone here so I can watch as we go.
I said, show me the Oliver's Castle footage where two balls of light lay a crop circle down in seconds. Show it to me again. He said, why? I said, I don't know. Just do it. So he lit it up, and I watched it, and I said, reverse it. He said, why? I said, I don't know. Just do it. So he reversed it. We watched it. The chills came back, and I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? I said, I don't know, 30%. And we both looked at each other like, where did that number come from? Why did I say that? I said, I don't know, just do it.
And there it is. We see. There it is. That something in connecting those two orbs. It's like a string or a... What the heck is that thing? Okay, here we go. We see the balls of light.
When I first looked at this picture, I did not know anything about Oliver's Castle. I just saw two balls of plasma communicating with one another. And it was just that simple. They are the... you know, the balls of plasma are the light at the bottom of those vortices that are creating the crop circle.
Now, who was that lady that came in at the end, Patty? Who was that woman?
That was Penny Kelly, the secret weapon partner of William Levengood.
Ah.
And we have a photo of him and his lab coming up in a few slides. He was the only scientist in the world that proved crop circles were real. And Penny Kelly worked with him for 16 years in the lab, and I was lucky enough to meet her, and then I spent 3 weeks with her creating this movie.
All right, so let me just go back to that clip. So something spoke to you and said, play this footage, and we see in the footage, we see at Oliver's Castle these two orbs, and you see the, as they're circling the film, you see the crop formation form right before your eyes, spontaneously. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And then when you something spoke to you and said, reverse it, slow it down by 30%, that came out of nowhere into your mind, right?
Came out of nowhere. And I just kept amazing the editor. And when I said 30%, that was it for me. I was like, I have no idea why I'm saying this, but it happened. So yeah, it was pretty surprising. And then I yelled, "Oh my God, what's that?" And a lot of people in the field said, "Oh, that's a digital glitch, but it's the only one that happens." And I knew right when I saw it, and so did Penny Kelly. And Penny Kelly was the science expert. I was just the experiencer. But I also was the one that found that moment with those mathematical, you know, slow it down, reverse it, which is simple. But to come up with it again was just, I think, a lucky moment of me being open to receive the information.
Well, so let's describe for those who didn't see that clip and are hearing it on the radio, that this line that is connecting these two balls of light, these two orbs, this straight line, horizontal line, and it looks as if it's sort of intermittently white and then a bit of black and white and black and white and black. That you refer to that as, you know, the communication between these two orbs. And that's only, I mean, it was always in that piece of film, but nobody thought to slow it down by 30% in order for it to be revealed for the first time. So what do you think? What is that line? What is that?
Well, it would appear to be a direct line of communication between two plasma fields, and everything is plasma. Plasma moves constantly. Plasma has intention. And so what you have there is a direct line of communication between two plasma fields. And what I believe is that they were communicating to each other, "I'll do this, you do that," and the field went down in seconds.
Remarkable. And I mean, I wonder what that white, and it looks to me as if it's like white, a ribbon of white and black and white and black. What do you think it is, like zeros and ones, or is it like binary code? We have no way of knowing, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like a binary code or a barcode squeezed down. But yeah, it would appear to be like a binary code. And a lot of the crop circles have been delivered in binary code. So, you know, crop circles are delivered in a language that we all understand, no matter what language you speak, in pictograms, pictures, and sacred geometry, like you were saying, and mathematics, and
fractals,
and binary codes, and Morse code. And we have seen a variety of coded crop circles. So, you know, they're using everything but language.
Let's jump right back in with these fantastic photos and images that Patty Greer, crop circle filmmaker, has brought with us. And we're going to go to number eight, number nine. These are crop circle nodes we're looking at. This is kind of a collage. Just explain what we're looking at here, Patty, with crop circle nodes.
This is a nice variety of different ranges of what you'll see in crop circles, but the stalk of any plant has little elbows naturally where it grows up and then it stops for a moment to gain itself. And then it grows another big, you know, length. And those are called nodes in the middle where it takes its break. And then it's able to bend there if need be for the plant. So what we have is blown nodes on the top right, which is where there was so much heat that it actually burned a hole through the stalk of the plant. And then in the middle, the really golden ones are called elongated nodes, where they were actually stretched. And the only way you can do that is with heat. So how do these plants that are made of cellulose have liquid in them, like life juice, to the point that it's so hot it would blow a hole but not kill the plant? That's what's happening for that quick second when crop circles are hit with these enhanced plasma field, bam, and then the crops bend and lay in the exact position that they're told, and it's hundreds of thousands of stalks. So it's really quite impressive when you see this many bent nodes that haven't broken, that haven't,
So is the moisture inside is superheated, almost as if they're in a microwave. And when that pressure builds up, it's got nowhere to go. So it blasts through the wall of the stalk, leaving a hole so that the moisture, the pressure can escape.
Yep.
Remarkable. And yet it doesn't kill the plant.
Say it again.
And yet it doesn't kill the plant.
Right. Right. I mean, when the plants are hit with these electromagnetic spinning vortices of plasma, they've also found iron ore on the backside of leaves of some of the plants inside crop circles, where it has to be 1200 degrees to be melted molten iron to be able to pack onto the backside of the leaf. And they peeled it off, Penny did in the lab, and she could see the pattern of the leaf in the iron ore. It was absolutely astounding that it didn't burn the entire field. They have found dead flies on flower, on seed top in crop circles, quite a few dead flies, but very few dead animals.
All right.
The next image is really incredible to me. This is corn. Or is this canola? This is canola.
Yeah, canola.
Yellow flowers.
This is number 10, Ryan.
Look at the bend.
Wow. Wow.
Like,
so it's
amazing.
The stalk kind of bends horizontally, and then it goes straight up at almost like a 90-degree angle.
Right. Unbelievable. And so in this field of canola, when you see crop circles, and canola is early season, like April, May, you're going to see canola fields and canola crop circles. And you can really see it once the yellow flowers are there, because the formations are really bold and bright. But Charles, who owned the research center, said that the canola can grow up to 10 feet tall. So it's like walking in a maze when you're in a crop circle of canola, where you can't even see to find your way out. Pretty alarming.
Right. Right. Now, if left to its own devices, would a crop circle where the stalks have been woven and they're now flat on the ground, and these intricate weaves, left to its own device, would they unweave themselves and stand up again, or do we know what happens?
What happens at the end of the season is the farmer mows his crop.
Right, so they don't get a chance
it just
stays in that pattern, in other words, until harvest time.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing that changes it, which happened a lot the last few years that I was going there, was that the government was threatening the farmers that they needed to mow out the crop circles if they wanted their monthly stipend from the government. So it was really awful what started happening with the threat from the farmers, from the military to the farmers. And so they started mowing out the crop circles. So we had less to go in, and the farmers were in fear rather than welcoming.
Well, that's interesting. So the military, the government told them, destroy the evidence, basically. Don't allow people to come in and see these crop circles. And if you don't do as you're told, you're not going to get your the cash for your crop.
That's right. Or your government assistance. So a lot of these beautiful formations, I mean, we get in there, and if we got a message from the research center, we'd be on it, and we would go immediately and start filming. And luckily we got most of the crop circles before the farmers mowed them out, but some of the beauties were mowed out, which is just absolutely sad. So let's go to the next image, which is William Levengood, the great scientist, in his lab. And he was really cute. So he and Penny were getting crop circle stalks from all different places around the world shipped to them. And Lefty, his name was William Levengood, but they called him Lefty, had been a plant and soil scientist since the 50s. So it was always his research field, but when he started getting crop circle samples, that was it. Nothing else mattered. And so they were trying to figure out how they could flourish once they were bent, what it was that could possibly bend the stalks to be the nodes to be so extreme. And they discovered that that it was liquid, you know, that was that hot, that was doing the causation to the change of form. But when they figured out that it was plasma working in a spinning vortex that heated up to the point where it could do this level of work, they realized that it was a technology that was creating super seeds, and they took the time to re-engineer it with the germination chamber and a germination tank, and they actually succeeded and came up with a machine that re-engineered the multitudes of seeds that they were creating naturally in crop circles, but now they were creating it in the lab. And I show the machine itself in Crop Circle Diary. So if people want to see it, and you know, if they've got farms, it's a really simple machine. And I'm surprised that it hasn't, you know, already gone out. But
so
charge density plasma.
So with this machine, using the charge density plasma, you're reproducing the technology that is used by these light beings and these orbs when they're laying down a crop circle. It's the same type of plasma, and in the germination chamber, you're getting between 30 and 400% increased crop yield with these seeds that are placed in the germination chamber. Do I have that right?
Yes. Go to the next image, because there you've got some seeds from this germination chamber. And this was one of the loads where they went, oh my God, this is for real. Now it's being consistent. And there's just huge abundance of more crop. But there's more to the science than just the two metal plates with the charge density plasma. There was also the bizarre mystery of William Levengood leaving the seeds that created the initial mind-boggling numbers. He had found an envelope in the back of his desk drawer, and it had been sitting there for months, he said. The seeds had not been watered. They had no light. They had, you know, no fresh air. They were just in an envelope closed in the back of a drawer. And it was those seeds that created these amazing super seeds. So there may be something to neglecting the seeds, putting seeds in the dark, not letting them have any access to anything before they become super seeds. I'm sure that, you know, people would need to experiment again, and William Levengood is gone now.
Patty Greer stays with us into hour two, prominent crop circle filmmaker who has produced 8 full-length crop circle films in 10 years. CropCircleFilms.com. Back with more on the other side. Don't go away.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at StrangePlanetPodcast.com.